Hey guys, welcome back. It is Annette Harris, your certified mental health ambassador and host of this podcast, Mind Mending in the Net, distributed by Get Caught in a Net Incorporated. I want you to always think of this experience as a net for your mind to mend. If this is your first time listening, I want to thank you, and I appreciate you for listening in, and I hope that you stick around. I do encourage you to make sure that you subscribe to Mind Mending in the Net. You can look for us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast shows. It is at this point in the podcast that I normally like to quote my mantra. It is the basis for our conversations. And my mantra is simply this: everything starts in the mind. And keep that at the forefront as you take a listen to this and any other episode of this podcast. I'm excited because I want to jump right in. This is the third part of the series that I have been having a wonderful discussion with my good friend. The topic of discussion has been how to overcome bereavement discomfort in order to help the bereaved. We have learned tips on what we can do when we are feeling a little uncomfortable dealing with those who are going through bereavement or experiencing grief. So, if you have not listened to the first two episodes in this series, I do encourage you to listen to those first before listening to this part three. So make sure you do that before you listen to part three so that you can get the entire picture of what we have been discussing. Thanks again for joining us, and let's jump right in. My guest again is Brandy McCord. Take a listen.
So this next point says validate. It says leading naturally on from being an engaged listener is the validation of painful experiences.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I want to answer this correctly. Give it to me one more time.
Okay. Leading naturally on from being an engaged listener is the validation of painful experiences. Let me read this. It goes on to say the nature of grief is such that bereaved people can sometimes think they are going crazy or exist in a dark world from which there is no escape.
I had a friend, and it hit me so bad. She said she went out. It was the day of her son had just passed. Mm-hmm. And I finally got around to going and seeing her, you know, at the burial.
Okay.
I said, babe, how are you doing? I wanted to get out of there as quickly. I wanted to let her know I was there because she asked me to be there. I wanted to let her know I was there. Then I wanted to get away from her as quickly as possible and let everybody else, you know, because I know I'm not good at this. So anytime I spend with you, that's more time for me to say something inappropriate or be inappropriate or not be comfortable or whatever. So I want to get in and get out. But she said, she grabbed my arm. She said, this is some old boo. And she's cussed and everything. This is some old boo. I said, what's some old boo? She said, this is the sunniest day we've had in a month. The birds are singing, warm breeze. You know, we should be out at the beach. She said, my son is gone. And so God didn't want to see fit to honor that with a cloudy day. The sun is still going to shine and everything. And it sounds almost comical and it's absurdity, but she felt that with every fiber of her being.
Yeah.
Now, my reaction could have been, well, sis, the sun gonna shine whether your son is above ground or not. You know, you gotta deal with it. The sun's gonna shine every day. What are you gonna do for every sun? You know, when she said that, I smiled and almost giggled at her and I said, yeah, this some old bull. This some bull. This don't make no since.
Right, right.
We, you know, we got shades on. This is a mobile. It should be dark. They shouldn't have come today. You know, we stood there and we laughed a little bit. And it kind of brought her out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, okay, this was stupid what I said. But she felt that with every fiber of her being. And who am I to tell her that she shouldn't feel that way?
Right. Exactly.
God forbid it's me. If I hear one bird chirping when I go outside, I'm going to try to find it and shoot it. This should be a dark day. My son, anybody I love, it should be a dark day. Shouldn't no sun be shining. People should not be driving to the beach. This should be a national holiday. That's how people feel. And you should feel that way. If you don't feel that way with them, at least validate that they're right for feeling that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, in essence, you normalized her distress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
You normalized it for her. And like you said, then she kind of realized, you guys chuckled about it, you know, that she kind of realized. But I'm glad you didn't go against the grain in addressing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was good. You were doing it, you didn't realize you were doing it. Maybe you did. I mean, you probably did. Because like you said, you could have said something else.
I could have, but who am I to, even if you are being unrealistic, so what? Can I today?
Right.
Can I that today?
Yeah. Yes, and I can't say this enough. Everybody goes through differently and they have on different, I was going to say different colored glasses, but our eyes are different. What we see is different.
Yes.
It's definitely different.
For a whole different filter. They're seeing the world through a whole different filter. We don't have the filter. We see clearly.
Yeah.
They see something totally different. They hear things different.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, with this last point, you actually brought this out already. You said to ask the individuals, you know, if you can, what can you do to help them? And this is, you know, what can I do next to be helpful? And we may have to, you know, do something as simple as that, as, you know, ask that question. Because we may think that what we are doing or have done is sufficient, and it's not doing a doggone thing. At that moment, your friend just needed to hear you laugh with her and agree with her.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, when you mention about your self-reflection and basically how you are, you know, trying to readjust, you know, when dealing with situations like this, where individuals are grieving or bereaved, when you see that others are maybe doing the same thing that you used to do, will you say something to them, or will you? How would, if I guess probably if you're close to them or something, would you maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I have a big mouth. It's been tapered a little bit since the pandemic, but if it's someone who's close to me, are we talking about in person or?
Either way, you know, if you notice that people are not, you know.
Yeah, I will say something. It wouldn't be an attack. It would be more showing them, well, sis, you know, I understand it's not my business. Or I understand that, and it may be right after a person says something empty or whatever. Sis, I know none of this empty gestures is really going to, or when they say, I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. Sis, I know nobody could possibly understand. None of us could understand what you're going through, but we want you to know that we are here. You tell us what you need from us and we'll give it to you instead of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's going to be some kind of correction. I've done it on Facebook, especially if it's somebody I care about. Now, if it's somebody I don't really know on either side of it, I'll just leave it alone because it is what it is. Maybe your family is like that. Maybe your people are like that. Maybe you're fine with it. But if it's somebody I know, then I'm going to say something, not in the spirit of, see, y'all ignorant. Let me show you how it's done. It's just, I needed somebody to say it when I was doing it.
Right. Right.
You know.
Yeah, for sure. My goodness. Yeah, but you know what? That's probably the best way to do it is to show it. Show them, if I can say it like that.
Yeah,
just show them. And then,
because if you get offended, if I handle it wrong and you get offended, then you're not gonna learn and you're not gonna take anything away. You're not gonna take anything away. If I get offended, I'm not, you may be showing me something I need.
Yeah.
It depends on who it's coming from and how you did it. I may not take anything away. I may be so absorbed in my offense that that's the only thing I take away from that situation. Whereas if you do it gently, I may not even catch it at that point. But later on, I guarantee it's going to come back into my memory. Whether I'm in the shower, doing some work, it's going to come back to my thoughts. And I'm going to say, hey, you know, mm-hmm. next I should do this instead of what I did, perhaps.
Yeah.
I hope that will be the goal anyway. I don't know. I'm not an expert. I just know how it has worked for me, you know?
And you know, sometimes that's, I mean, well, that is all we can really do, you know, what has worked for us. You know, we can only attest to that, you know, if I can say it in that sense. But yeah, but this is good stuff, because again, I'm telling you, we just haven't been saying the right stuff to people.
I've never gone. What I've been doing, low key, it's for selfish reasons too. I see my friends dealing with this,
mm-hmm.
and I don't. One thing that really said, and I'm sidebar real quick because I know this with this time goes by so fast. whenever you talk about your loss. I don't care. You know, usually I have your show on. I'm if you're on, I'm watching the show and or listening to the show unless I absolutely can't. But right. there have been times when you brought it up with other guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember where I am in my cleaning. I remember one day I was at my bedroom window, cleaning the window. Another time I was washing dishes. Another time I was looking at Joe's screen as he was editing. I remember every time you brought up that your loss.
Wow.
I remember it because every time you did it, I'm like, I know her. I expect this type of loss to change a person and change them into somebody else, but I know her and she's just as normal. Heck, not normal. She is thriving. She's this great radio host. She's this activist. She's this amazing woman of God. This recently I found out this operatic singer. you know, she's just this amazing person. I expect somebody who dealt with that kind of loss and the ignorance that she dealt with afterwards, I would expect to see a shell of a person. Whenever you bring it up, I'm so intrigued by, first it was horror.
Yeah.
Now I've known the story and heard it. I'm so intrigued by who you are right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know where was I going? Oh, I had something good to say. Oh, so what I'm doing right now is I know it's coming to my door. Thank God it has not come to my door.
Right.
But I know at some point it's coming to my door. And I want to be a whole human being like I see in you. Now, God knows you are fractured. I know you. That's my dog having a nightmare. I'm sorry. I know that you are fractured. I know you're hurt, broken on the inside. But I know God is a healer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's first and foremost in your life. And I want to, I've always felt that before, I felt in the past, if I suffer that kind of loss, and I still say this, I got to stop putting those words in the atmosphere. Y'all are going to have to commit me. Depending on who it is, you're going to have to commit me. I guarantee you that right now.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the fear of losing someone is who I'm going to become afterwards. But seeing people like you mm-hmm. gives me so much hope. And it gives me something. It gives me a benchmark to, God forbid when it happens, I need a benchmark to look up at and say, you can still be whole after this.
Wow.
You don't have to be a shell. You don't have to be that shell of a person who you just think is inevitable. You don't have to be. So, but in order to be that way, I have to have that mindset now. Because when it happens, I know for a fact I'm not going to be any good. And I'm going to give myself that time.
Right.
but I need to see at the end of the tunnel, I can still be whole after suffering a loss like that.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. So that's what I'm preparing myself for right now. You know, I've got older parents now. I think Dr. Shirley Hill, she might outlive me. She might outlive our my kid. Who knows?
Right.
I have to be realistic because I don't want it to hit me where I'm completely unprepared and unaware. I got to start emotionally preparing. And the way I do that is by doing right and really feeling and empathizing with those around me who are going through it. And coming out on the other side, or trying their best to come out on the other side.
Yeah. Wow, that was really deep. That was so deep. I mean, we could probably go into a whole nother podcast talking with that.
But, yeah.
You know, at first, I want to thank you for those kind words. But I will also say, and you know it to be true, it wasn't always like this for me. It wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you already heard at the beginning of the podcast, you know, how I acted, you know, after my brother's death. And I won't even say, at one point I was doing a totally different podcast, Brandy, and I was kind of reflecting, and then it hit me and I said, wait a minute, did I not go through correctly when my brother died? Then I said, wait a minute, there is no right or wrong way to go through.
Yeah.
It was just how it affected me. Now, you know, I wished at that point, you know, in my life, 39 years ago, that therapy and counseling was like, you know, prevalent at that point where I could have, you know, partaken in that. But that was unheard of, especially in the Black community. But, you know, there's just some things that I had to learn, you know, how to deal with and how to overcome it, you know, over the years. I always said, and this was true for me, you know, some people don't agree with this, that you don't necessarily get over it. You just get through it.
Through it. Yeah.
And
straight.
Yeah. And that has been what I've held on to. You know, because again, you can't bring them back. You wish you could, you know, whatever. And, you know, maybe you could have changed some stuff or what have you. Would it have made a difference? But, you know, only God knows that. But, you know, so then you can't, you know, stay there and then, you know, beat yourself over and over again because you won't live. And that's not what I want for myself. And I know that is definitely not what my brother would have wanted for me.
So exactly.
So some things I went into to help me to get through, and not even on purpose. I wasn't even trying to become a radio broadcast host, but that was my brother's profession. You know, I wasn't trying to do that. Oh, you didn't know that?
Mm-mm.
Oh yes. Oh, there.
I have
so many stories.
Wow.
I have so many stories to tell. But yeah, so that was one of them. And you know, so many other things that I had to do or that I eventually started doing that helped me deal with my grief, which, you know, going back to, you know, being, you know, bereavement committee chairperson, that and me helping families, that helps. That still helps me. It's like I get a joy in helping them. You know, because you know, they have, I know what it's like. And so I can, you know, kind of help them, you know, to kind of get through, you know, even though, of course, everybody takes death differently, but I can still, you know, the general things, if you want to say, you know, I can help you get through that. And then I can tell you what's possibly going to come, you know, in the days ahead. So that has helped me and it continues to help me, you know, with my grief and bereavement. And you mentioned early, and I'm going to say this and we can kind of wrap up, that, you know, sometimes individuals, and I've seen this too on Facebook, how some people say, I just saw one of my Facebook friends say this not too long ago, maybe about a month or two ago. They were kind of thrown off on individuals who still post about their loved ones who have passed, and it's been years.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, basically, like, you're still grieving? Oh, it hasn't come to your door yet, sweetie. That's what that tells me. That's what that tells me. It has to come to your door personally like that for you to make that comment. You know what I mean? And so
I don't want to wait till that's what I don't want. I don't want all my learning and all my I don't want for it to have to happen to me for me to understand or for me to finally get it.
Yeah.
Because that's too late to me.
It is indeed. Indeed, it is too late. But we just have to be a little bit more sensitive, you know, with individuals and understand and know. Again, it's just kind of meet them where they are. Ask them, you know, what can I do to help, you know? And so hopefully there were some things that were said that you and I said, Brandy, today that help individuals to overcome that bereavement discomfort so that they can help someone else.
This was a great conversation, though.
Yeah.
Really great. Very important conversation.
I would agree. And I'm so glad that you considered to join us.
Of course.
For this discussion. Yeah, it's a whole lot, you know, that we haven't even tapped, you know, with this topic. But this was good. This was good right here. Can I ask you a question before we get out of here? You know, I typically, and I know this is going to kind of put you on the spot, so you can tell me yes or no, but I typically give a positive mental health tip.
Wow, Gordon.
What was that?
I said, you're going to ask me while we're recording. That's a good technique.
Yes, I love it. You know, I have my own little way of doing stuff. No, I'm just kidding. But a positive mental health tip I typically like to give my listeners for the, you know, the podcast episode that we're doing. I know that you're a busy person and you're extremely intelligent though, but I want to know, what do you do personally to make sure that you're fostering positive mental health for yourself? Do you have a daily routine? Maybe you use vision boards or?
I do. I don't use vision board. I'm going to start. Mm-hmm. What I do is I make plans for the next day. For the next week, and I give myself rewards. I have, my husband laughs at me. I have a list of things that I have to get accomplished I do it throughout the week. And I have these little mini rewards that I have planned for myself. And I tell him, for this reward, I'm gonna need your wallet. Or I'm gonna need you to participate in this reward if I get such and such done. And he laughs at it, but he's like, listen, you get that done. You've been wanting to do that. You've been talking about you're going to do that forever. So I'm more than happy to provide you or to assist in rewarding you for that. So I give myself little rewards because the tedium of the day can get to be too much. Why am I doing this? Why am I drinking water tomorrow? Or why am I taking a moment out to study instead of doing, I hate reading. Why am I going to take out a moment to read something that's going to enhance my knowledge? Who cares? Well, this is one. Because I may not see why I'm doing it every day, but at the end of the week, you've done it for a week. Here's your reward.
See?
So I need reward.
Ooh, I like that. I might have to take that for myself.
Listen, I'm not a girly girl. So I rewarded, and at the end of 2 weeks, if I do my water, I'm going to give myself a mini facial and pedicure. And guess what? I'm going to get all my stuff from the dollar store.
There you go.
Nothing's expensive. Half of that stuff is not even going to work, but it's going to be the process of pampering myself, which I haven't done in about 10 years.
Wow.
So it's just the process of focusing on myself. And hey, I did that. I'm going to play some quiet music and it's going to be nice.
I love it. I love it. Oh my goodness, guys. You can take that positive mental health tip for yourself because I'm going to take it for myself. That was a great idea, you know, and especially when you're busy and you know you have things lined up and you have to accomplish certain things, whether it's in a day or within a week. You're right. When you know that there is something, a goal there at the end of the week, I can do that if I finish all of this. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I love it. Thanks for sharing. It works, huh?
Oh yeah. I'm doing stuff that I don't feel like doing.
Okay.
I'm accomplishing tasks I don't feel like doing, but I know there's a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Motivation.
Yeah. Yeah,
that sounds like the key to that. Well, again, thanks, Brandy. I am going to make sure that I know this is just a conversation with my quote unquote girlfriend here.
That's the only reason I wasn't nervous and so anxious is because we have conversations.
Right. Yes, we do. We do it all the time. And I'm grateful for that. But this was great. And I know it's going to help someone. Please tell me that it helped you. I do appreciate each of you for listening to this three-part series. Again, if you haven't listened to all three parts, I do encourage you to go back and listen to it all in its entirety, because whether we realize it or not, we will face situations like this. You may already have. So hopefully the tips that we shared with you, our own personal experiences that we shared and were transparent about, will be a guide to help you as you deal with those who are grieving and or bereaved. So again, thank you so much for joining me here on this podcast. I enjoy bringing various topics to you, whether it's something you want me to discuss or something that I see that needs to be addressed. So if you have any questions or comments for me, please make sure you email me at mindmendinginthenet@gmail.com. Again, that's mindmendinginthenet@gmail.com. And if you haven't done so already, would you please go ahead and subscribe to this podcast? You can look for us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast shows. Tell someone about this podcast. This is Mind Mending in the Net, where everything starts in the mind. We'll see you in the next episode. Take care.